One, two, three. Good morning. Happy Monday, Tucson. Welcome to another week and another week here on the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser. As every day, Monday through Friday, we talk about the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, we debate, we discuss the issues and themes critical towards getting Tucson to that best possible future. Tucson, I remain convinced after saying this, after months, after now 2 years on the air. We're celebrating today our 2-year anniversary. It was October 7th, 2 years ago, that the Creative City Show made its debut here on 1030 The Voice. After all that, I really do believe, I continue to believe, that Tucson is at a tipping point. The decisions that we make in the next 3 to 5 years are going to really shape the next 50. The next 5 to 10, rather, will shape the next 50. I think we're in that season. So today is a bit of a celebration day, the 2-year anniversary on the air. October 7th, 2017 is when the Creative City Show launched on the air. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, Tucson, here on the air, 790-2040. Call in if you'd like to share an encouragement or a suggestion for year three. I'm taking both today. An encouragement for what you've enjoyed about the show. What do you think the show brings to Tucson? But if you have a suggestion, say, Zach, I like your show, but it'd be 3 times better if you did XYZ. I'm taking it all today. I will take both. 790-2040 is your opportunity to call in. In between those calls here, the first half of the hour, I'm going to do a countdown of the 3 eye-opening moments for me on the program from the last from at least the last year, because it's hard to remember 2 years of show, but I'll give a 3 eye-opening moments on the program, things that have stood out to me about our conversations, about Tucson, about our guests, and we'll do our first half hour of our program here that way, celebrating specifically the 2-year anniversary. Thank you, Tucson, for making it a good 2 years. You know, they tell me if folks don't call in and nobody's listening, you don't really have a show. But you call in and we have people listening, so we have a show. So thank you, Tucson, for your support these last 2 years. And then at the bottom of the hour, Leah Marquez Peterson will come in to talk about the Arizona Corporation Commission open meeting from last month, some updates of what they have going on there. She is the only commissioner from Southern Arizona. So we like to have her on the program because she's representing south of the Gila. I think I appreciate that. And then we're going to talk mission creep. Governor Doug Ducey has made an interesting, over the summer, interesting comment about the Corporation Commission. He calls it mission creep. And I'm curious to get Leah Marquez Peterson's thoughts on that, as well as the new clean energy partnership in the works between TEP and the University of Arizona. And I mentioned this on the air a couple weeks ago, had some call-ins about it. What are the details? What's the taxpayer impact, if any? How do the mechanics of all this work? And so I asked Leah Marquez Peterson if she can speak to what is publicly available, at least as that partnership wraps up between TEP and the University of Arizona. So that's our show today, Tucson. Again, 790-2040. Is your opportunity to call in as we celebrate a birthday. Just a half an hour, my friends. We're going to celebrate the birthday of the Creative City Show. So here are, let me start with this one, because I think it's beginning to also define how I want to do the show, how I want to talk about Tucson. I'm doing a 3-part countdown and eye-opening moments on the program. Let's start with this one, and not in particularly any order, but a few months ago, I was really, really struggling with the narrative in Tucson. I was really struggling with the narrative in Tucson. I just kind of had it stuck in my craw, and it's hard to explain why, even for a season of 2 or 3 weeks, right? You guys got something in your craw and you can't figure it out. And for me, it was this. Everywhere I would go in Tucson, I would be a part of what I felt was one dominant camp or one dominant narrative or the other. I would go to a room and it would be a room full of really high impact people, been a part of the community, seen a lot, and were really down and pessimistic about the community. And I'm not even sure pessimistic is necessarily the right word, because I'm not trying to be negative about so many people who've been in the trenches for so long, seen so many balls dropped, seen, you know, so much defeat snatched from the jaws of victory, as they say. But it just seemed like you went in a room and it was one of two things you got. One was either just this extreme pessimism, disappointment, frustration with the city. Or I'd go into these other rooms and I would hear this unabashed cheerleading of the city, where it almost felt like there was a need to compensate for the negativity by just being on the other end of the spectrum positive. Everything is awesome when you're a part of a team. You might even remember the show where I had our producer play the Lego Movie theme music. Everything is awesome when you're part of a team. You know, it's like this bouncy, everything is awesome. And I would go into rooms and I would hear, you know, Tucson is great and it's the top this, top that, top this. And there was no recognition of some of the gaps and challenges that need to be overcome in our city to reach our potential. And I remember it was about that time when I had then mayoral candidate Randy Dorman. She was running as one of three Democrats here in the Tucson primary for mayor. I had her in for my second and final interview on the show. And I remember telling her about this on the air. And I said, Randy, I go into these rooms where one of two things are happening, right? There's this extreme pessimism. Tucson will never get out of its own way. Tucson has never reached its potential and it never will. These are the massive problems in the way. Nothing good can come from Tucson, right? And I go to these other rooms, Randy, and they're just this extreme, unabashed, unlimited cheerleading and hype about Tucson. I said, you've struck a chord, Randy, I said, where your campaign slogan was good enough is no longer good enough. And so I was just kind of reporting on it. I was doing my journalistic thing. I said, Randy, how do you line up on that spectrum? You have gone, you know, what some would say maybe a little bit negative, not that it's negative, but more negative than just kind of the everything is awesome when you're a part of a team. I said, Randy, what's your balance on this? She goes, Zach, I want to be a coach. I look at myself as more of a coach, not as a cheerleader, not as a harsh disciplinarian, right? Not as a harsh prophet in Tucson, but as a coach. I said, Randy, what do you mean by that? And it was interesting to me to hear her talk about how a coach's job is to both celebrate what's going well, but to also call out what is getting in the way of it going even better. And this made my list of three eye-opening moments on the show, because that's what I want to be. That's what I want the show to be. And everybody has their place in this community. Everybody has their place in media. Everyone has their thing that they do. I think mine is, how do we highlight what is going well and move that forward while also talking about what has to be overcome to get there? And my commitment has been, it's maintained, that I don't talk about people, I talk about issues. And so maybe my messaging isn't always hard enough, fast enough on the air. But maybe going forward into year three, my goal is to say, look, we need to talk about what's going well. This is my number two eye-opening. This leads into it after we come back from the break. I'll tell you why I think it's important to talk about what is going well, but not at the expense of the gaps and challenges we have to overcome. And likewise, we need to talk about the gaps and challenges that have to be overcome, but not at the expense of making sure that when something is going well, we say, that's going well. I think that's what a coach does. And for better or for worse, Tucson, that's my commitment to you. That's my commitment of this show to this community, is to talk about the issues that matter, but to also celebrate the wins. I think it's the balance we have to have to make sure that the decisions we make, right, over the next 5 or 10 years are decisions that make the next 50 the best possible that it can be. So that's one of my three eye-opening moments, I'm calling them, on the show, was that coach moment with then Democratic candidate for mayor Randy Dorman here a few months ago in studio. When we come back, I want to tell you what I don't think Tucson talks enough about. Tucson doesn't talk enough about this, and I'll tell you what this is when we come back from the break. We'll take your calls as well for the next few minutes. 790-2040. Colin, let's celebrate the 2-year birthday of the Creative City Show here on the air on 1030 The Voice. We'll be right back. Tucson, welcome back, and happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. It's 2 years of the Creative City Show here on the air on 1030 The Voice. 2 years ago, October the 7th, 2017, we got going here on the air. It's been a great 2 years. We're celebrating it here for at least the first half of our show. And just entering the green room as we came out of our break, Leo Marquez Peterson, Arizona Corporation Commissioner from here in Southern Arizona, just got in. We're going to talk about, at the bottom of the hour, updates from the last open meeting, a mission creep comment that keeps creeping up. We're going to talk about that. And the new clean energy partnership in the works between TEP and the University of Arizona. But first, 3 eye-opening moments on the program. My countdown here on the first half hour of our show and taking your calls, 790-2040. Call in, share an encouragement, share something you've enjoyed about the show, or even a suggestion about how it could get better. We're entering into year 3 here on the air, and you know what the enemy of great is? Good. Good is the enemy of great. So that's why I like to take your suggestions, Tucson. Anytime and every time. There we go. I can get them. Is because good is the enemy of great. Give me a call. Tell me how the show gets better in year 3, Tucson. 790-2040. My number 2 eye-opening moment. This is kind of a combo moment, but it shares something that's a big picture that I want to talk about. And that is, I was thinking back to when I had a company called Freefall in, and they are a big data innovation organization startup out of the UA Tech Park, I believe, here in Tucson. And they're working on smart city issues, right? Like getting data from the air. And it's an antenna company working with the University of Arizona. A couple weeks ago, I had Colleen Sanchez from IBM in, and everybody knows or seems to know or have an idea about what happened with IBM. What was that, about 20 years ago when a lot of their workforce left? But a lot of people don't know that IBM still has a presence and what it does here in the city. And those two things, for example, got me to say on the air a couple weeks ago, and it's really caught some steam, I think. Tucson is a town that likes to talk about its tacos and trails more than its tech and talent. Tucson is a town that likes to talk more about its tacos and trails than its tech and talent. We don't do a good enough job in our city of talking about the big ideas and the people making that happen that are working to move the city forward. We like to talk about our tacos. I love tacos. We should talk about tacos. We like to talk about our trails, and we should, because it makes Tucson, Tucson. But we have to be talking about the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future just as much as we are talking about tacos and trails. We like to talk about the stuff that we have nothing to do with, the scenery, the trails, the weather. But what we don't like to talk about enough is either A, what our people are doing on the ground that is good, or B, the stuff that we have control over that we need to be working on. Tucson is a town that likes to talk about its tacos and trails more than its tech and talent. We have to change that. That was an eye-opening moment on the show. That's the second one here on the program. Let's go to our phone lines. We have Doug on the line. He called 790-2040. Doug, thanks for calling. You're live on the air. How are you?
Good morning, Zach. I wanted to first call and wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
I don't know how old you are. I know you're a millennial, so I'm assuming you're probably 29 or 30.
That would be a good guess. We'll go with that.
Well, what is it? Is it 31?
The show is 2, and I'm 29.
29, that's what I thought.
There we go.
I did want to make a comment because, you know, when I first met you, I heard you speak at a group and talk about millennials and intergenerational relationships, and it really opened my eyes to millennials, because I think a lot of times millennials get a bad rap, and it's you know, they get talked about as being entitled, enabled, you know, snowflakes, these kind of things. But you know what I see with my kids and other young people that are millennials is they have a great desire to change the world, you know, and they have a very strong social, you know, responsibility component. You know, they want to have a small footprint and not, you know, eat up resources. I see some very positive things. And in my church, you know, at U City Church, we have a lot of young people, and I see how active they are when it comes to a day like we get out and serve the community. There'll be, you know, you'll see 200 of them out of like 300 show up to actually do the work. So it's, I think it's very encouraging. I look at you and the next generation, and it actually, it gets me excited and motivated to see what's going to happen. So happy birthday to you. And I love your show. I think you're doing a great job. And I think a lot of the people listening to the show are not millennials. They're older people. But I think as we start to understand each other and understand the opportunity that's there for this next generation, you know, we encourage that next generation, mentor that next generation, great things are going to happen.
Doug, thank you for that encouragement. And longtime listeners of the program or of the station really will recognize your voice. And thank you for the opportunity to get started on the air. And good things are coming. Good things are happening. Thank you, sir.
That's right, Zach. And you have a great day. Happy birthday.
Thanks, Doug. All right, Doug called 790-2040 to jump on the air and wish our show a happy birthday today, October 7th, 2017, after months of working with Doug and Mary back then, here on 1030 The Voice, to jump on the station and start as a weekend show and brought in some huge ways to talking about seven key issues and themes of our city that I think we have to get right if we're going to see the future that I think we know and believe is possible about our city. So thank you, Doug Martin. We'll keep the phone lines open for any encouragement or suggestions as the show turns 2 years old today. I don't want to interrupt too much my newsmaker, or rather my influencer interview with Leah Marquez Peterson, who comes in at the bottom of the hour, but I do want to keep the phone lines open for you, our listening community. My last of three eye-opening moments on the program so far was when, and we need to schedule them in a little more consistently, but a couple of months ago, we did a couple of what I call deep dives, where we look at some big, thorny, hairy issues in Tucson, and we try to take an hour and go all the way back to the beginning and do a kind of timeline of the issue and try to make sense of it. And even when we have different departments or different organizations or different enterprises, trying to do on the show a deep dive into what they do. And had a caller call in once and said, "Zach, I need to get a continuing education unit after listening to some of these shows." And I have always remembered that call, and I've always appreciated it, because you can only go so deep on issues on the air, but we really try to do a all the way from the beginning all the way to the end, because often we can get a mythology about ourselves. We can kind of create urban legends and urban myths, and the issues we face in our community are always more complex and more difficult and more detailed than we either remember or give them credit for. And maybe it's just me, but I always kind of have a little tick when it comes to what seems to be an oversimplified and incomplete summary of an issue or a topic or historical item that has happened in our community. And I've always enjoyed being able to have nitty-gritty, in-depth conversations here on the air that have, yes, led some to say, wow, I need to get some CEUs for that conversation. So that's another eye-opening moment where we had these deep dive conversations, and you, our listening audience, have liked them enough that we have kept going with them. I think they need to be more consistent. But thank you for the opportunity to do what this show does and talking about people and big ideas shaping Tucson's future. When we come back from the bottom of the hour, news and sponsor messages, we'll talk to Leah Marquez Peterson, finally. She's here in the green room about the Arizona Corporation Commission. Mission creep. Governor Doug Ducey made an interesting comment over the summer about how the ACC, in his mind, may be undergoing mission creep. I want to talk about Leah Marquez Peterson's view on whether that is what she thinks is happening or not with the policy areas the ACC is starting to touch. And speaking of those policy areas, we'll wrap up with a conversation about the new clean energy partnership in the works between TEP and the University of Arizona. We're kicking off strong this Monday here, our first show of the week. Once again, Tucson, and through the rest of the hour, thanks for hanging with us as we celebrate 2 years of the Creative City Show on the air. We'll be right back, Tucson. Good morning, Tucson. Welcome back to the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser. As we're kicking off Monday together, hopefully you are at least two cups of coffee into your day and are getting going, maybe starting your first work project, getting up and around, whatever you're up to as you are tuning in or streaming live at KVOI.com. Thank you for listening. This is a special show, more so than usual. I think every show is special, but this one is special because it's the 2 year birthday of the show. October 7th, 2017, we got going here on the air on 1030 The Voice. So we spent the first half of today's hour talking about my three eye-opening moments so far on the program. We took your calls on 790-2040 with an encouragement or a suggestion for year three. But now we shift over to our guest in studio. Leah Marquez Peterson is Arizona Corporation Commissioner and the only one from Southern Arizona. So we try to make these conversations as frequent as possible because we have a representative on the commission from our geography of the world. So I think it's important. Leah Marquez Peterson, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Zach, and happy birthday. Two years. That's quite an accomplishment.
Thank you.
I don't think people realize how much preparation you have to do to be on the air every day. So way to go.
I appreciate it. It is a lot of work, but I really enjoy it. And, you know, someone asked me, you're going to have cake? And I went, the honest answer is I looked up on Friday last week and I went, whoa, Monday's 2 years. It just flies right by. You look up and it's gone. So mm-hmm. I'm as shocked as you all are that we've made it 2 years.
No, thank you for having me on, because I am the only state or Southern Arizonan in a statewide seat. As you may recall, I was appointed by Governor Ducey in May to take the seat of Andy Tobin, who was promoted on to the Department of Administration. So it's been interesting. It's been about four and a half months for me now. I am in a statewide seat, so I'm trying to hit every corner of our state, from That's Yuma right. to Superior to Douglas and Flagstaff and so on, and talk about issues important to our ratepayers. What I find, interestingly enough, is people congratulate me because maybe they saw it on Facebook, I was appointed, but they're like, what is that? What is the Arizona Corporation Commission? So I find myself explaining it quite a bit.
Right. And there's a lot that the Corporation Commission covers, and the Arizona Corporation Commission has a monthly open meeting, it looks like. And after that, they submit consistently open meeting highlights. And so folks can go on the Arizona Corporation Commission, azcc.gov, and it's like minutes of the minutes. It's a cliff notes of minutes, probably. It's like short little, here's what we talked about. And there were a couple that I wanted to talk with Leah Marquez Peterson about here in terms of an update. And the first is, there were new tariffs in place for AHO Improvement Company, wastewater, electric, and water divisions. If we could update on that real quick.
No, sure. And to explain, so the Arizona Corporation Commission regulates our public utilities. We handle business incorporation. securities fraud. So if anyone's curious about real detail into each of these, because we can just touch on them a bit here, I'm sure, without putting everyone to sleep, that they can go to azcc.gov. They can watch our proceedings. They can read the dockets or the lots of legal documents that have been prepared for each of these cases. And we serve in kind of a legislative slash judicial seat in that we're voting on each of these, setting rates, we're setting financing plans. In the case of Ajo Improvement Company, obviously that's in the Ajo area, we just recently went through a rate case with them that you can read more about. We talked about here on your show maybe 2 months ago or so, about the challenges and kind of the rate shock I felt ratepayers would pay with the capital investment that was made by the company, and that it was beholden on the ratepayers to provide that rate of return and bring back the cost of that infrastructure for Ajo Improvement Company. This action we took in the September open meeting was following up to that. During that time, one of the commissioners asked that we have a special tariff, a special rate for deployed service members and disabled military veterans. So Ajo Improvement Company was coming back to us at this September meeting to say, here is the tariff or the rate we'd like to put in place, and we voted to approve that. So that's why you saw Ajo on the agenda during that month. There's a lot of depth, a lot of concern, I'd say, in Pima County related to Ajo Improvement Company, and people can again read as much as they'd like on that at azcc.gov.
Super. And I think when you go on that news release, they link to all the documents and things like that. And so I appreciate we can only kind of just do an update here, but for the deep dive, that'll have to be.
Yeah, I'd need the whole hour.
Need the whole hour. That we talk with our guests in studio. We also take our live caller questions. I know Al is on the line with a question for Leah Marquez Peterson, the Arizona Corporation Commissioner. Al, you're live here in studio. Thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you, man, and happy for your birthday that you've made it 2 years on the air.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
My question is, I don't understand. I read in the newspaper that the Corporation Commission agreed that TEP could raise our rates because they're losing money because we save so much energy and they need to recoup those finances. Isn't that a catch-22? You want us to save energy, but then when we do, you charge us more for it. I don't grasp the concept there.
No, good question, Alan. So you're absolutely right. One of the roles that the Arizona Corporation Commission plays is we approve capital investment into our public utilities. We approve financing and we approve the rate cases. And right now TEP has a rate case that is pending. You can read the detail of what they are asking for to be justified as a cost to their company and how that would impact the rate. Right now we're in the middle of the staff determining through an audit of their financials and other material, what is justified and what is not, and making a recommendation to our Corporation Commission. Anyone can weigh in. You could write a letter to us to that regard and put it in the docket or the online folder that all of us will read and the media can see and otherwise. But we've not yet made any determination on the TEP rate case. It is pending right now, and we're in the middle of the research and the investigation. You can go to azcc.gov. And if on the top, the search bar, you just put Tucson Electric Power, you would see their docket or their online folder for their most current rate case.
Leah Marquez Peterson, this actually touches on what we'll land on real quick in this segment and then a conversation in the next segment, one that has preceded your time on the commission, but I think it's still an issue that you have to handle. So we'll get to that in the next segment. But commissioners in September made the decision to table the discussion and vote on a natural gas moratorium for electric generation. Can you go into a little bit more detail on that?
Yeah. So as I was appointed in the spring, I learned that years before, I think it was about a year before, our Arizona Corporation Commissioners had put in place a natural gas moratorium. Now, if you follow energy, the cost of natural gas is very low right now. I think our commissioners wanted to see an energy plan in place and to understand the role of natural gas and ensure that we weren't investing a lot of capital dollars in the generation of natural gas at this point. So they'd put a moratorium on it. In the September open meeting that we have, again, that anyone can watch online or come up to Phoenix to see, we talked about that and we actually decided to have a workshop, which means a full day on September 19th, which is what we had, a full day talking about the natural gas moratorium. It was lots of different input. There was a lot of suggestions and recommendations made by stakeholders and those in the clean energy environment, and business owners and others weighed in on this. We actually held off on a vote because we are in the process now of also talking about what our energy standards or goals are for the state, kind of what direction our commissioners want to go. We're also in a very important discussion that we've talked on your show about before, Zach, on retail competition or deregulation. Is that something that Arizona should move towards? I think it's around 13 to 15 other states in the country have some type of deregulation or some type of hybrid of that. And so we're having a lot of workshops on that coming up. I know myself and my team, we submitted some 9 or 10 different workshops that we'd like to see occur over the next year or so, so people can weigh on a different component to that. And one of that would be natural gas and the generation and as well as the distribution of natural gas.
We're with Leah Marquez Peterson, Arizona Corporation Commissioner, here in studio. I'm really thankful for this. It was untimed, unplanned. Al's question. Al just called in on 790-2040, our live line, to ask you a question. I wanted to talk about an issue that is kind of preceding you, but has been an observation and some work that's been done on the commission over what seems to be the last 20 years. Governor Doug Ducey made an interesting comment about mission creep. This was a little bit back in the summer, but it reflects some of these things you're talking about, where in some people's mind, the ACC is designed just to set rates, period, end of story, close shop, end of meeting. The ACC has been starting, in some people's mind, maybe to get into more kind of legislative or policy areas of when you can turn and turn off, you know, services, or how much renewable energy should be a part of the picture. Would love to talk with you a little bit about that. And if, according to the Constitution and according to your mind, Leah Marquez Peterson, is it mission creep for the Arizona Corporation Commission to get into some of these items? I think it addresses concerns that Al is having, for example, wait a second, if we legislate more renewable and more alternative energy, doesn't it make the cost higher for kind of some more of the longstanding energy resources? So don't worry, Tucson. That's why we have Leah Marquez Peterson in studio to get into all of that when we come back from the break. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Don't forget, 790-2040 is the live line call-in number. We'll get to as many of your calls as we can. Don't go away. Good morning, Tucson. Welcome back to the last part of our hour here. We're spending the last half of our show, the Creative City Show here, which airs from 9 to 10 every day, Monday through Friday, with Arizona Corporation Commissioner Leah Marquez Peterson. While she represents all of Arizona on the commission, personally, she's from Southern Arizona and is the only Southern Arizonan. What did you say, Leah Marquez Peterson, so I get it right? The only Southern Arizonan
in any statewide seat in Arizona.
Which is crazy.
And you know, interesting. I'm also the first Hispanic woman ever to hold a statewide seat, which is shocking in 2019.
You would think it is.
Quite an honor.
Yes, absolutely. No doubt. So, Leah Marquez Peterson, this is not a new comment, but it was interesting to kind of read shortly after you jumped in. So it precedes you, but shortly after you jumped in, Governor Ducey made a statement about mission creep in terms of the Arizona Corporation Commission. In some minds, the Arizona Corporation Commission should just be setting utility rates, end of story. But lately, there's been kind of more legislation and policy type of things, whether that is when can APS shut off service, whether that is X amount percentage of energy needs to be coming from renewable resources by 2025. Where do you land on that? Is that what the ACC should be doing, or is it a little bit of mission creep?
You know, it's interesting. That did occur, and I immediately got calls from the media, as did all of our commissioners. Kind of, what's your opinion? What's your position on this? And, you know, what I'll say is that we're the agency charged with ensuring that ratepayers have access to reliable, affordable, and sustainable energy. And this is a lot of effort to try and kind of get the balance of those. You're right, what percentage renewable, clean energy, and so on. But the investments in our energy system are hundreds of millions of dollars that residences and businesses will be paying for decades. So you want to make sure we get the right resources built for the future. And I think that the commission, as utility regulators, are a good place to do that. I think a lot of people also don't realize in the state of Arizona that we don't regulate SRP, Salt River Project, which is based in the Phoenix area. So if you're talking about statewide targets, statewide programs, It makes it difficult to enforce because SRP is not required to comply with our plans. So, you know, we'll see on Mission Creep. I'm sure going to have further conversation, but I think because of that, there's a place for some kind of hybrid model, statewide targets, perhaps adopted by the legislature, the governor, enforced on regulated utilities by the commission. And that's where I've stood, because I think we do need a statewide energy plan.
You know, I was thinking back, our caller from the last segment was kind of asking, at least in part, maybe kind of your 30,000 foot view of this issue. Not that specific case is that specific case, but more than a decade ago, the commission, again, way before you, way before me, approved rules requiring utilities to generate at least 15% of their power from renewable sources, not including nuclear, by 2025. And I think there's a lot of people like Al who are thinking, well, how does that goal, which on the idea of it sounds good, is that going to impact ratepayers in a positive or negative way, short and long term? Is this a goal that you think is overall good for Arizona and the ratepayers? Where do you line up on that?
I'll start by saying that absolutely it's going to impact the ratepayers. One of the workshops we've been hosting, and we'll have many more, I'm sure, is on our clean energy goals. And so as we've had these workshops, you've had all different groups, ratepayer groups, stakeholder groups, come in to talk about what's realistic. Should we be 100% clean energy? Should we be 85? By what year? And what percentage of that is renewable, which is solar and wind and mm-hmm. others? Clean would include nuclear and natural gas. So it will have a financial impact on the direction we go in terms of capital investment and the ratepayer. So we're taking lots of feedback and input now. The 15% goal that the commission set several years ago has been met, and I think we can stretch much further than that. One of the questions I've been asking, as I mentioned just a little bit in the kind of the Mission Creep conversation, is we are here to ensure that we have safe, reliable, affordable utilities. So certainly whatever goal we do set, it needs to be affordable. So I've been asking for financial projections. If we're planning whatever it may be, you know, whether it's a wind farm or solar farm or whatever it might look like in terms of how that impacts our goals in the state of Arizona, what's the financial impact on our ratepayers? And so a lot of that analysis is still being done. So they're ongoing workshops, and you can, again, find those on our website and weigh in or write letters and tell us your opinion also.
Speaking of this, Tucson Electric Power released a press release end of September about their support of the University of Arizona's plan to provide 100% clean energy to its Tucson campus by the end of 2020. And that, it sounds like it's a proposed 20-year plan and provides solar from Tucson and wind from New Mexico. We're just curious. I know it's not a completed thing yet, and so there's only so much that we can talk about, including or beyond here, this press release. But I wanted to get your thoughts on how you feel about this overall. And then we had a caller when I brought it up about a month ago wondering if there is going to be any impact on the local ratepayer in Tucson, or if this is just specifically U of A and TEP, or if there's a broader rate that maybe the rest of the city will have to pitch in to make this work. I wondered if you could especially answer that by the end of it all.
No, absolutely. So this is an application for approval that TEP and the U of A have put before our commission. TEP will be charging U of a fixed green energy charge and an integration charge instead of like a standard energy rate that's set forth in this tariff. And that is something, again, to meet the goal of 100% clean energy by 2021. I think that the direction that they're going is very positive. I can't particularly get into the details here, but I will tell you what they are planning and what we're going to be discussing is that they're developing now a wind-powered electric generating facility in New Mexico that's 61 turbines on 24,000 acres. It's just southeast of Roswell, which is interesting. They're also planning about a solar electric farm, you might call it solar project, 314,000 solar panels on more than 1,100 acres near Swan and Old Vale. They'll be using those generating facilities to provide the energy to the U of A. The U of A is covering 100% of that cost. It won't go to ratepayers overall in the TEP footprint or geography, but I'm certainly probably impact those that are paying tuition and however the UVA is handling that capital cost. I'm not sure.
Got it.
And that's a question for UVA. But I think the project is very interesting, and you know, look forward to learning more about it as they come before us for their application approval.
We have about 3 or 4 minutes left, and thank you for that answer. It's always fun to take a call and say, you know what, I don't know the answer, but I have XYZ person on in a week. Tune in then, and we'll, you know. And I think many people will be glad that that is a capital cost that's held by the U of A and not going to be taken by the taxpayers. But how do you want to facilitate that conversation moving forward about a move towards either cleaner or renewable energy and rates? How do you balance that move with making sure that it doesn't affect the most vulnerable, but just the average ratepayer who may be concerned that their rates are going to have to go up to get to some of these goals? How do you balance that?
Right. You know, a lot of it is feedback from folks, because not only am I hearing from ratepayers from the public utilities that we regulate during our workshops and our open meetings, but I'm trying to get out and speak and engage with folks around the state. So I've been speaking at Kiwanis and Lions Clubs and Rotaries and Chambers of Commerce. I'm speaking at the Chandler Chamber in the next week or two to receive that feedback. A lot of times people certainly are concerned about the impact on the environment by our utilities. I mean, I hear not a lot of people go into depth on it, but they want to see clean energy in Arizona. But to what point? How much are you willing to pay for that? How soon should it happen? How important is it in the industry or the company that you work for? What are things that you can do to be energy efficient or to be more conscious of the energy that you're using in the state? Those are questions, you know, I ask and gather as much information as I can. Because depending on what goals we set at the Arizona Corporation Commission, that will certainly have an impact on ratepayers and businesses.
If anybody listening or, you know, down the road wants to submit a piece of feedback or maybe wants to meet with you during an office hour,
sure,
or whatever the case may be, as we close, where's a good spot to get a hold of you?
Yeah, because I'm the only one from Southern Arizona, I did open an office in Tucson downtown in the state building.
Excellent.
So you don't have to drive all the way to Phoenix.
Great.
But yeah, they can go to azcc.gov. Right on that front page is my photo and the other commissioners. You just click on our photos and it takes you right to my email address. So just send an email if you have a group that you'd like me to come speak to and gather information from. Would love to do that anywhere in the state, and really do want to hear from our ratepayers and have them really pay attention to the energy goals we're setting at the state level, some of the conversation we're having around retail competition or deregulation, the disconnect policies that we've been really knee-deep in focused on APS, TEP, and others. We're having lots of conversations around that. Would love to hear from our ratepayers.
And as you mentioned early on in this part of our show, there's certain issues that get a lot of press time related to ACC, but there's a lot that ACC does,
right,
that many don't get to see in the news or get to hear about. And so lots they can reach out to you about,
yeah,
and get,
yeah,
more information.
We handle incorporation of every business in Arizona. So certainly as a former chamber president, that's top of mind for me. How do we make it easier to do business? We're putting expediting rules in place so you can pay a fee and actually have your incorporation expedited if you need that done. And, you know, really, how do we work with other state departments kind of to create that one-stop portal for businesses, especially our small and micro businesses, as they're getting started and need to get established in Arizona? So there's a lot of things that we do that aren't specifically utility related that I'm trying to highlight as I talk around the state.
Super. Leah Marquez Peterson, thanks for always being willing to come in and talk with us about anything and everything that you're at liberty at the moment we ask you to talk
right.
about.
Thank you, Zhang, and happy birthday again to the show.
Thank you so much. We try to do this consistently because, again, Leah Marquez Peterson, while representing the whole state, is the only one from Southern Arizona, and so we have a direct line of contact that I think it makes sense to take advantage of while you have,
absolutely,
we have you here with an office in Tucson. Send me an email if you couldn't jump on the line, Tucson, thecreativecityshow@gmail.com with a suggestion, encouragement for the next year, and anything or anybody that you want to hear on this program. Doug, Jenny, Victoria coming up, Bill Buckmaster at noon, and we are back at 9 a.m. tomorrow. This has been the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser, signing off. See you tomorrow.